that's now recording, so that should be fine. And I'm going to double up with tape as well.
That's brilliant. Thank you.
It's okay. Right, wait to be switched on, and then we're going for it. Everybody's hoping not. Okay, well, can I say a huge welcome to you? You must be very tired. I appreciate you coming on to this seminar. I'm going to start off by doing what preachers should never do, and that's by apologising. I had got everything done on the PowerPoint, and I could flip around my PowerPoint to wherever I want. Then I was told there's only two projectors, and I was the one who didn't get it. So I had to quickly put them on here, so I was very gracious. And I had to quickly put them on here, and I won the gracious stakes. And so if it's not quite as slick as it should be, I apologise for that. We've only got an hour, and what I'm going to do is a little bit of what I did on a day's conference on teaching Proverbs. So it's all going to be a little bit squeezed and not quite what it should be. So again, I'll just apologise for that, but if we just kind of go for it and enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Okay, Abraham, would you like to pray for us, brother?
No problem.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Lord, you open our eyes to understand your revelation through the book of Proverbs above the cross. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Right. Now, Proverbs. I've sought to do Proverbs with my youth groups probably about three or four times. I first had a go. I went on a conference like this, but for ministers, and we looked at Proverbs. And that was the first time I'd really kind of got into Proverbs. And I think really it's a book that is neglected. What was the last sermon you heard on Proverbs? Have you ever heard a children's talk on Proverbs? Really? Done a series on Proverbs, a children's series on Proverbs. So I think it's a book that's hugely, hugely neglected. So what I want to do today is just give you a little kind of handle on how you might teach it to children and young people. If you pop down Well, I'll give you my email. If you then email me, I'll send you all my notes on Proverbs, my PowerPoint on Proverbs. I've done children's Hollandy Bible clubs on Proverbs. I can send you all that stuff. So I'll give you my email, and then if you send me an email writing Proverbs, I'll promise I'll send you all that stuff. Okay? Right. Now, how have I done it with children and young people? Well, the way I've approached it is I've called it the Bible's soap opera. The Bible's soap opera. And if you think of Proverbs, there is everyone who's in EastEnders is in Proverbs. There is Harry the Hothead. There is Fred the Fool. There is Gladys the Gossip. There is Cyril the Sluggard. Now, I'm sure you can think of all of those people in EastEnders, can you? Everyone who is in... You obviously don't watch it. You're very good Christians. Nor do I, actually. But everybody who's in Proverbs or is in EastEnders is in Proverbs. And I call it the Bible soap opera. We call it Proverbs End. Except there's one person missing in EastEnders who's one of the main characters in Proverbs. Who's that? The wise man. I've never found him in EastEnders when I've watched it every now and then. I've never heard the wise man. Now, I want you just a few questions. What soaps do your children and young people watch? Hollyoaks? Neighbours? EastEnders.
The
OC
soap.
Sorry?
The OC soap.
The OC soap.
Yeah.
You heard of that?
Theory.
Okay. Friends is a soap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Sorry?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Yeah, that's kind of got more of a sort of soapy feel. But The Bill. Is that kind of a soap, isn't it? Sorry?
Casualty.
I would probably say... Big Brother's being made more and more like a soap, isn't it? My 9-year-old, guess what game they play in the playground? Big Brother, my 9-year-old. That's what they play in the playground. Now, she doesn't, because she doesn't watch it. But it, how a child of 9-year-old would be able to stay up till 9, till 10 and watch it? But there we are. That's the culture we're living in. Now, why do they watch them? Have you ever thought about that? Why do they watch... why do they watch the soaps? Why do you think your children watch it? Just pray out for new things. All I'm saying is if we're going to get into the life of Proverbs, we've got to begin to start thinking these things. You might think, oh, I wish my children didn't watch them, especially your own church kids, but they do. So why do they watch them? It might be good leading up to you doing, if you did want to do it the way I'm selling it, doing it like a soap opera, it might be good to sit down and watch EastEnders, Coronation Street, some of the soaps that they watch for a few weeks before you did it, just to be right in the groove. So what soaps, why do they watch their soaps, do you think?
Because their parents do, because their friends do, because they're on at mealtimes.
Say that again, that's good. Because their parents do, because their friends do?
Because they're on at mealtimes.
Because they're on at mealtimes. So they wouldn't sit around as a family and have dinner, they would all sit around the family of EastEnders. Yeah? Why else do they watch them?
To be part of a family.
To be part of a family, yeah. Because they feel that, these are people they can relate to. Associate more with them. Yeah, why else? Sorry? Yes. Yeah, it's like real life, but amplified. It is quite amplified, isn't it? I watch EastEnders, when I watch it, I think I want to top myself by the end of it. Thankfully, real life isn't quite as bad as that all the time. Yeah. So it just ends, and you're thinking, what's going to happen? And it's boom, boom, da-da-da-da-da, and you think, oh, no, I want to see it again. Yeah, there are all lots of different reasons. Escapism is another one. But, sorry?
To have conversations.
Yeah, to be able to relate to their friends. Yeah, all those things. Now, what I think we see in Proverbs is life in the raw. When you introduce to many of the characters in Proverbs, you really are introduced to life in the raw. And what is it all about? Proverbs really is all about what life is all about. And what is life all about? Life is all about relationships, isn't it? That's basically what life is all about. Your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. Now, when you look at Proverbs, often you see characters, you see situations, which are really life in the raw. And often, I remember hearing a very famous preacher, and I was chatting to him afterwards, and he said, one thing we've got to do with our culture today is we've got to make them feel the truth. We've got to make them feel the truth. All the time, because we live in a culture where everything is relative, where there's no absolutes anymore, and what our job often to do is to get God's absolutes and so ram them into their experience that they feel the truth of what God is saying. And what Proverbs does often is it paints such a graphic picture of relationships that often will go wrong because you don't listen to your maker, that it will give you life in the raw. And often it can be quite a very painful experience. Now, obviously, when you're doing it with children, you need to be very wise in how you do that. But what Proverbs does is it gives you life in the raw. But not only does it give you life in the raw, it also gives you the secret to successful living. The secret to successful living. So it gives you life in the raw, but it shows you how you can make good relationships. Now, what I want us to do, we're going to be looking up our Bibles quite a bit. What I want us to do is to ask the question, what's the major plot line? What's the major plot line to EastEnders? If there is one. Does anybody here watch it regularly?
Neighbours.
Cuba watches it. Anybody else? Sorry, sister, what is your name? You haven't got your badge on.
Diana.
Diana watches it. What would you say, Diana, is the plotline to EastEnders? If it has one.
Well,
What are the major themes?
Well, it's relating to one another and other relationships. So all of the major plots, because they're different ones, all are in terms of relationships with the people on the square.
Mm-hmm. So it's massively relation based. Any other things? Or any
about
other?
Family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Family pride, and this is what our family does.
Very good. Yeah. And to protect the family. Yeah. Very good.
Trying to get life sorted out.
Very good. Yeah. I remember reading once where it was saying that one thing that EastEnders does do is it does show you the consequences of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think it does that very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, as you say, magnified to an unreal situation, but it does show you often the consequences of people's sin. Now, what's the major plot line of the Bible's soap opera, Proverbs End, or whatever you would want to call it? Well, what I want to do is to quickly look up some Bible verses. What's the major plot line of Proverbs? Someone did joke that they'd mixed all these up. I hope they were only joking. Yeah, I think they were joking. Right, let's just quickly look up these verses. I want you to think. What is the major plot line to the book of Proverbs? Okay, let's go. Does anybody want hands up? Who would like to read? We can just quickly read these verses. Everyone happy to read? Right. If you can do the first one, you can do 10. You do 15. 2-1. Sorry, I've got your name again.
Diana.
Can you do 2-1, 3-1, 3-11, 3-21, 4-10, 5-1, 5-20, 6-1, 6-3, 6-20, 7-1. Okay? Just if we can do them really quick. Think, what's the major plot line? What's the big, big theme that's coming out here? Okay?
Hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching.
My child, if sin is inside you, turn your back on them.
My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke.
Dear friends, guard clear thinking and common sense with your life. Don't for a minute lose sight of it.
Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many.
My son, be attentive to my wisdom, and incline your ear to my understanding. Don't go mad over a woman who is unfaithful to her own husband. My child, if you put up security for a friend's debt, or agree to guarantee the debt of its friend.
Sorry, read it again. What verse is it?
6-1.
Yeah.
My child, if you have put public security for a friend's debt or agree to guarantee the debt of a stranger,
okay, next one. 6-3.
And do this, my son, consider yourself. If you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself. Press the plea with your neighbor.
3-20. 6-20.
My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching.
7-1. Great. Then what's the major theme you've got there? What's the big theme? Sorry. I can send all of these to you on a PowerPoint if you want, but yeah. What's the big theme there? In those verses, it's pretty obvious. It's coming out again and again and again. Yeah, although it doesn't mention God, does it? My son. So, you know, it's a father-son relationship. What else would you say about that relationship? What's the father continually telling him? Listen to me. Yeah, listen to me. Listen to my teaching, and obey it. Do it. Listen obey, do what I say. Now, that might seem obvious, but the first thing to get through is the whole thing of Proverbs is the wise man telling, or the father telling the son how to live. So it's a position, it has an authority figure. So it's not kind of, this would be a good idea, or it's the best way out of two, maybe. It's, this is right, that is wrong, and I am telling you. You must obey me. So instantly there's an authority figure. Now, who is obviously the wise man. Now, think about your children and your young people. What kind of a culture are they growing up in when it comes to authority? Don't you tell me what to do. Isn't it? It's an anti-authority culture. Big time, isn't it? All the time, it's anti-authority, whether it be at school, teachers have no power whatsoever. Now, we're, again, fools if we think that kind of thinking doesn't then come into the church and how we teach. So we can easily teach as if this is a good idea that you should follow God. This is a good idea that you should listen to the wise man. It's a really good idea. As opposed to, this is what God is saying, do it. He is the one who has authority. And then if you boil it down to who is the wise man to your children and young people? Or wise woman? You are. It's obviously, now this is speaking primarily of a father-son relationship. So it's a father, so my children, my three girls. This is primarily, first of all, speaking to me as a Christian father, how I should be a father and train them to be disciples. But when Christian parents send the children along to Sunday school or youth work, then you kind of take that role, don't you? You are the authority figure who's teaching them God's word. If they're unchurched, you're the only wise man or wise woman they will ever meet. And you've got to see that God has given you authority of his voice to speak to them. So you are in a position of authority from God. You are the teacher. You are like this person. So this is my teaching. Obey it. It's a good idea. All right? So that's the first thing, the first big plot line of Proverbs. Okay, let's look up the other major plot line. So the first thing is an authority figure. Now, basically, what we're seeing in the next three things, I want to sum up Proverbs in three major plot lines. Okay, so there's three major things that I would say is a very way into Proverbs. Okay, and this is the first one. All right, now, when I did this, I did two groups. What we'll do, if there's not that many verses here, if we read these passages, if we do 1, 20 to 23, and then group 2. So, could you read 1, 20 to 23? Could you read 5, 1 to 3, 7, 10 to 13, 9, 13 to 18? Nice and loud, and that'd be great. Now, ask yourself, as they read it, what's the major thing coming through here? What's the big theme? Okay. 1:20 to 23.
Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you.
Great. 5:1-3.
My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil.
7:10-13.
Just then a woman met him. She'd been lying in wait for him, dressed to seduce him. Brazen and rash she was, relentless and roaming, never at home, walking the streets, loitering in the mall, hanging out at every corner in town. She threw her arms around him and kissed him boldly, took his arm and said, I've got all the makings for a feast. Today I made my offering to my vow.
9:13-18.
The woman of folly is narrow. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple has to turn and hear. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol.
And then just quickly turn back to just the beginning of chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To discerning all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Now, what's the big theme coming out of there? What's the picture that Proverbs is painting?
Lots of things are being shouted at you, and you have
yeah.
to decide what the right one to listen to.
Yeah, so there's massive voices, yeah?
Yeah. Body, yeah. Both
brilliant. So there's two voices here. Now think of your young people. How many voices do they hear in a day? What do they wake up to? Probably a radio. Voice number one going in there. Then when they're still stay in bed. What's the next voice they probably hear?
Mum.
Then they go downstairs. Then they probably sit through. These are teenagers probably. They probably sit through breakfast watching the television, maybe, or chatting to their mum, another voice. Then on the way to school, what will they put in their ears? Their MP3 player. So another voice. Then they'll get there and then they hear the teacher's voice and they hear the friends' voices. Think of how many voices your children and young people hear every day. Thousands, all seeking to influence them in different ways, some for good, some for bad. So it looks in life as if there's loads of voices seeking to penetrate our ears and affect us. But actually, according to Proverbs, how many voices are there? There's only two. There's only two voices. There is the wise man, or there is the foolish man. Now, I would say in Proverbs, as you read through Proverbs, when you look at characters like Cyril the Sluggard, when you look at Harry the Hothead, when you look at these characters, you don't have to, the brilliant about Proverbs, you don't have to think about any illustrations. Marvellous Mel, the Vice Girl. You don't have to look for any illustrations for her because they're all there. Her lips drip like honey.
What was her name?
Marvellous Mel, the Vice Girl. But we had someone in our group called Mel, so I had to quickly change it. Vicky the Vice Girl. And then there's somebody else, a girl came called Vicky, so I had to keep changing that one. But there's two voices. There's only two voices in Proverbs. You either listen to the wise man or you listen to the fool. There's these two evangelists, isn't there? There's the Dame Folly and there's the wise woman. So there's two evangelists. Now that's the kind of world your young people are living in. So how can you bring the cross into that? What voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of God? Or are you listening to everybody else's? And if you're listening to the voice of God, then you will... If you're listening to everybody else's, then what will your life be like? If you're listening to the voice of everybody else, then whose voice are you choosing not to listen to? How do you think your Creator feels about that? Don't you think he's pretty offended? Don't you think you need to say sorry? Don't you think he's upset and angry with that? Well, he is. But let me tell you about someone who always listen to the voice of God. And then you can get them to cross. So it's basically, now we'll look at how we can do that a little bit more if we've got time. But if you're if they see the glory of God, that he's the voice they should be listening to. And when we look at the different characters, the consequences of not listening to that voice, what are the consequences of becoming a Cyril the Sluggard? How does that affect other people? What's the consequences of being a Gladys the Gossip? How does that affect other people? Because we don't listen to the voice of God. What's the effect of being a Harry the Hothead? Because we don't listen to the voice of God. And that affects our relationships big time. And it ruins our relationships. And when we ruin our relationships, what do we need from God? We need forgiveness. How do we get that? We get the cross. So can you see? Because it gives you life in the raw, it actually easily leads to the cross. Now the temptation for us is to just to make it moralistic. Be nice, don't gossip. Be nice, don't lose your temper. Be nice, don't sleep with other people. Do you know what I mean? That's the last thing we want to do. All we do is just create nice little Pharisees. What we want is to show the life in the raw, the consequences of not listening to the voice of God. They can see that, and then it will lead them to the cross. Can you see? See the huge difference? Okay. Anybody want to come back to me on that?
Yes, what kind of pitfalls do you avoid to not go down the works line?
Well, keep if we look at them three major plot lines, okay. If I haven't answered that by the end, come back at me, sister. All right? Now, again, when you think of two voices, you see, once you get into the characters of Proverbs and into the big plot lines, and you kind of make it simple, and it isn't this book where there's just loads of pithy sayings, and you think, what does that mean? Actually, you can then think of Jesus, and you think, what's Jesus preaching Proverbs then? See, to me, I think Jesus preaches Proverbs a lot. But what does he say? Only two voices. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man who builds a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but he could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Now, what is the foundation according to Jesus? It's what voice you listen to, isn't it? Now, Jesus is definitely preaching Proverbs there, isn't he? Wise and foolish builders. Well, it's Proverbs, isn't it? He's preaching Proverbs, man. And you look at Jesus, a lot of the time, he's always often preaching Proverbs. So Jesus is fantastic. So Jesus is the only two voices in life. And you've got to present with your young people in different ways. With young people, you can be more direct. With children, you can do it different ways. When we did it with children, we did a different character every day. We did Cyril the Sluggard, Gladys the Gossip, Harry the Hothead, Fred the Fool, and the Wise Man. And then we did a drama for it as well. So did a drama. So with children, I've got three different booklets for kids, for reception, for the next class and that. So again, if you want to have a look at them, you can use them, rework them and adapt them as however you want. So the first thing we see is that there's two voices. Okay, what's the next? And when we did it with Jesus, we started off Proverbs end with children, Jesus' favourite number. Jesus is always speaking about two sons, two builders. You look at Jesus all the way through. Two is definitely his favourite number. He always talks about two. Now, okay, what's the next major plot line? We've got loads of verses here, but let's see if we can do them. What about, can the back row, each person, take one verse? How many verses have we got there? One, two, three, four, five, six. How many people have that? Two, four, six. There we are. Great. Can you do the back row? Starting across. Next row. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. This is like perfect. One, two, three. One, two, three. So can you read that one after another? I can't see. Sorry, here. So you're the bottom line. Okay, sorry. Can you not? You're here. You can't see it, can you? Okay. Sorry, this is rather confusing, isn't it? Right. You back row, you can see what you're doing, can't you? Next one. Mark 9:6. Carol 11:5. Miss, no badge. 15:24. 16:17. All right. And then, yep. Okay, now think. What's the big thing? We've got two voices. What's the next thing? Okay, nice and loud. Let's go.
Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity every path.
Well, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the path of uprightness. 18:5.
Yeah. Never trust a Chester. Never trust a Chesterfield fan. Blimmin' Chesterfield fans. Yeah.
It's 418,
get on with it.
The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day.
Thanks, brother. Okay.
keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house.
On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand.
I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice.
Next slide.
Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight.
Okay.
Righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The path of the virtuous leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe.
God's people avoid evil ways, and they protect themselves by watching where they're going.
A man who strays in the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the Lord.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course.
Loads of positives there. Okay, let's go to the group two, negatives. Abraham, can you do 2:13? 4:14-15? 9:15-16? 11:5? 16-29? 28:10? Okay, let's go. Wait, do it again. Sorry. Okay, go.
Who do not do what is right, but what is evil.
Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding.
The people walk by minding their own business. Calls out, are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on. Set up there, steal off me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life. But they don't know how. They don't know about all the skeletons in her closet that all her guests end up in hell.
The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness.
The man of Rome praises his neighbour and leaves him alone with his neighbour.
Is that last one? Great. Now, what's the big theme there? We had two voices. What's coming through there? Yeah, two paths. So there's actually only two voices to live. You either listen to one or the other, and depending on what one you listen to is depending on what path you travel on. Okay. So if you listen to the wise man, and you travel on the wise highway. If you listen to the fool, then you will walk down a fool's highway. And what will happen? If life is all about relationships, if you travel on the wrong way, then your relationships are bound to be, what? Wrong, aren't they? If you listen to the wise man and you go on the wise way, then as we'll see in a minute, your relationships are bound to be good, on generally speaking. Now, Proverbs is very black and white. It's 2 and 2 in Proverbs always equals 4. So in wisdom literature, 2 and 2 always equals 4 in Proverbs. You live like this, this will happen. Now, within the wisdom literature, there's another book which says, not always the case. What book is that?
Ecclesiastes.
Not Ecclesiastes? Job, where the righteous man, 2 plus 2 equaled 5, didn't it? All right? So, Job kind of answers Proverbs. Life isn't always as easy as that. But what Proverbs does is it deals with generalities. Generally speaking, you listen to the wise man, and your life will be, your relationships will be good, generally speaking. You refuse to listen to his voice, and the pathway will be generally, often, pretty bad, as we'll see in the next one. All right? So again, it's getting back to this thing of getting the kids to feel the truth. If you want to be a serial sluggard, then you will travel on the wrong path, and it will be a painful one. It will be. If you go near her door, then expect trouble. If you go near her door, then who might be knocking on your door? According to Proverbs. Her husband. And how will he be?
Angry.
Very angry. So, you know, life, what Liam said, was it yesterday? You know, adultery. This morning. It's just thinking about me. Okay, so now we've got loads of, let me just, again, just ram this home, only two paths. On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes a stand beside the gates leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud. Do not set foot on a path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. I was once chatting to a guy who had become a Christian but was really struggling with leaving his old life. And he'd gone out to a nightclub and been very, very tempted just by the kind of lady that's described in Proverbs. And he was describing how close he'd really got to sin. He hadn't sinned, but he got very close to it. And he's no Christian background. So I said, okay, let's look at it. So I just turned up Proverbs and read it. He said he just couldn't believe. He couldn't believe how that just described perfectly the two nights, the night before. He couldn't believe it. So I just, when I see him regularly, I just say, stay from a door. Don't go near a door. Don't go near a door. Proverbs is unbelievably right in there with the nitty-gritty of life. I remember once when I was on this minister's conference, we had to do a gobbet like you're doing. So I took the thing of the lady and I put it in a modern day kind of language. I should have had it here. And I read it out and I could see some of the pastors sort of shuffling, thinking, oh dear, that's not very, you know, that's a bit, I couldn't say that, wouldn't want that to my young people. But it's actually, it's only what is in Proverbs, but put in modern language. He goes to the nightclub, the music's booming. This woman comes up to him, you know, she starts dancing with him, music's playing. I just want to have some fun. He thinks, wow, this is fun. She invites him, gets in the car, he goes home. Her destination is the place of slaughter. She's you look at the Proverbs, all the ways it speaks. He goes in, he enjoys a night of passion. He wakes up in the morning. The first thing he sees is three pressed, beautiful shirts of her husband. He then gets up. On the floor, it's littered with children's toys. All he wanted to do was have some fun. But what he's realised is he's been a major player in the destruction of a loving relationship. Now, I did it much better than that, but just trying to put it into a language that the kids would understand, that would hit them between the eyes. Okay, so we've got two voices, we've got two paths. Well, you probably work out what the next one's going to be. There's loads of verses here. Let's just pick a few of them. If those on the back, can do the first group one. If you can do the first, just the first row, 219. 219, 3:1 to 2, 3:16 to 18, and 21 to 22. All right, there's loads more we could do. We'll just do the top ones. Okay? And then in the next row, if you could do 2:18 to 19, 6:25 to 29, and then 7:23 to 27, just to get a flavour. Okay? Three, one,
do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity.
Great.
Long life is in her right hand, in her left are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed.
Great. That's it, isn't it? Okay, next one, 2:18, 19.
For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the path of life.
Don't lust for her beauty, don't let her coy glance seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not sleep with his feet? So it is with a man who sleeps with another man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished.
He was like a stag caught in a trap, awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. So listen to me, my son, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your heart stray towards her. Don't wander down her wayward path. for she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death.
So Google Translation is there.
New Living.
Yes, good. Now, what, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out. What's the two big things there?
The end.
The end, yeah. Destination. What is the destination?
Destruction.
Destructional? Life. If you look through Proverbs, to do a word search of life. Life is everywhere. If you listen to the wise man, what will your life be full of? Life. Life. So you have relationships that are life-filled. Or you'll have... If you don't listen to the wise man, you don't listen to his voice, if you're not on the wise man's path, what will your life be full of?
Death.
So there's two voices, God's wise man or foolish. There's two paths, the wise way or the foolish, and there's two destinations, which are life or death. Quite clearly, death comes up again and again and again in Proverbs. In those passages, it was all death-filled, wasn't it? In the back row, it's all life-filled. So you have two destinations. It's either life or it's death. Now, if you're travelling on the path, refusing to listen to the wise man, what will your relationships often be full of? Death. You'll have death-filled relationships. If you don't listen to the only being who gives life, if you go away from the source of all life, there's only one way you're heading for. What's that? Death. God is the source of all life. You walk away from the source of all life. With every step, you're walking towards death. Now, just think of someone in your church who's really godly. How would you describe their life? Full. It's exactly how you would describe it. What's it full of? Life-filled relationships, isn't it? I can think of... You know, I think of one old lady in my church. She's 80. She stayed with us when I lived down in London when she was about 77. My children were then probably about 3 and 5. I can remember her at 7:30 in the morning putting on a drama tape of Elijah and walking round our living room acting like Elijah. When I think of her life, there's not a Sunday that doesn't go past where her house isn't full of people for a Sunday dinner. When my wife was a student in Liverpool, her husband was still alive then, so she'd have been about just before her 70th birthday. When my wife was 21, her father gave her some money to take her friends out for a meal. Who did she take out? A 70-year-old lady. She's just amazing. Now, when I think of her life, I think of it being big. It's full. It's life-filled. Every single relationship she has is full of life. I can think of others who ignore God's voice and are travelling on the path where the destination is death, and all their relationships are just full of his death because they're just so selfish. They're turned in on themselves. And when I think of their life, I just think of it being small. So small because it's just them and it's just like that. It's so death-filled. Whereas someone who listens to the wise man, it's life-filled. It's huge, massive life. Okay, this is what Jesus says concerning the destinations, two destinations. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and the many enter through it. Again, two paths. Jesus is two paths, two voices, two destinations. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So, I would say the plot line of Proverbs is two paths, two voices, two destinations. That's, to me, where the best way. Now, obviously, with children, the way you'd have to do it, you'd have to be a lot more gentle and careful. But often, I found with children, when you tell them about the character of Cyril the Sluggard, Harry the Hothead, they've got people in their lives, however, whether 5, 6, 7, or 8, they know Harry the Hothead. They see him maybe when they're driving in the car and he's sitting in the front driving, it's called their dad. They may see him arguing with their mummy, or the way they relate to them. They know, they can see Harry the Hothead. They know what it's like to live with one. remember when I first did Proverbs, there was a thing on, I taped a bit of EastEnders when this couple had split up and this other person had been unfaithful, and it was a very powerful piece, and I showed it. I didn't have to convince them that adultery was wrong. I didn't have to convince them that people's lives are wrecked. I don't know, I just had to show EastEnders. They saw it. And then you just fly. So what does someone like that need? They need forgiveness, don't they? Because their lives are messed up. They've messed other people's lives up. Wasn't it wonderful that God has done that? Now, does anybody want to come back on that? Because we're nearly done for time. We're meant to finish at, what time are we meant to finish at? 6:15? Okay, we're still going in. Does anybody else want to come back? Any questions? How have we got to answer your question yet? Is it getting close to it?
Just specifically, with God, just the spot, you might get to that. Just when you deal with a specific chunk of Proverbs, how do you avoid the
pitfalls? Well, I think if you do, if you keep it to here. So every character that you do, if you bring it back to Paul's voices, destination. So what I did it when I did it with my 11 to 14s and 14s to 18s, they got sick of this. Two paths, two voices, two destinations. But I don't care if they get sick of it. As long as they go out ringing in their ears, two paths, two voices, two destinations, two paths, two voices. Now I might think of different ways of introducing it, but it's so drilled into their minds that they know that it's about listening to God's voice or not. Choosing to go on one path or not, choosing, you know, and that destination. So it's their choices. So therefore, they either obey God or they disobey God. Well, then you can go straight to the cross. Do you see? So I'm not telling them, live like this and everything will be all right. I'm saying you're not living like that. Therefore, you need forgiveness. And this is how you could have relationships full of life.
It's possible for a ministry to look as if it's, you know, it's thriving, and yet it's dead.
That's exactly right. I mean, I changed churches 2 years ago, and often my feeling is that what looks really successful and really buzzing, often, I'm not saying always, often isn't in God's eyes. What looks kind of ordinary and not very spectacular often is. So I can think of these two lads, 18, 19 year olds, that become into one of the youth teams. I have a Bible study with them every Monday evening. Well, they're just really popping. It's just becoming alive. Well, does that look very impressive? It doesn't, does it? But God is changing them and making them into real disciples. Who knows what they're going to do? I meet with another guy on a Tuesday morning, going for a book, exactly the same. Two other guys on a Wednesday morning. Now you can just see that things are really beginning to happen. Their minds are getting full of truth. They're working it into their lives. Now, in God's agenda, that's exactly what I'm seeking to do. What Jesus did, that's impressive, but it doesn't look very impressive. Whereas if you've got, you know, a big band and loads of young people and everything's popping, but you're never really teaching them the Bible, you're never really discipling them, it looks very impressive. But it's probably not. Probably not. Because if you're 10 years' time, those young people will probably be nowhere. Probably. Okay, let's just quickly look at the character of Foolish Fred. The fool's character. Just some of the most basic things. Oh dear, that's it. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, but since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Now, these are just some key things that I think describe the wise man's character. The wise man never questions. He never questions anything. A simple man believes anything. Now, I think our culture, without a doubt, is brilliantly developing fools. Don't you think? Our education system doesn't teach children to question. It just teaches kids to accept everything because we're living in a sort of a postmodern culture where there's no absolutes. A simple man believes anything. Secondly, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but a simple keep going and suffer for it. So he never looks to the future. He never thinks about, if I act like this, then the consequences are going to be this. Our culture is constantly hiding the consequences from young people of their behaviour. We're always trying to kind of fill the gaps. Whereas a prudent man looks ahead. He thinks about, if I act like this, and that will be the consequence. So I'm not going to do that because I'm going to listen to the voice of God. Never learns. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes of fool. A fool never learns from the mistakes he makes. He'll go and make them again and again and again and again because he never listens to the voice of God. Never listens. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. And what's the wise man's character? Well, the wise man's character is the complete opposite. The wise man's character: if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. The wise man looks for God's wisdom like as if he was looking for gold, as if he was looking for treasure. There's nothing more important. There's nothing you want more. You always listen to the voice of God. And boy, it brings life. It's not boring. It's far from it. When I was doing it with my three children, Proverbs, I tried to sort of hone down a simple phrase to describe the attitude of the wise man and the attitude of the fool. This is what my 3, 9, 6, and 4-year-old came up with. The fool refuses to live in God's world in God's way. That's basically the fool, isn't it? Refuses to live in God's world in God's way. Refuses to listen to his voice, refuses to walk on his path. Whereas the wise man, the wise person, loves to live in God's world in God's way. He loves to live in God's world in God's way. Now, as I say, I've really only just scratched the surface of Proverbs. I mean, I've just given you the plot line. I haven't told you anything about how to look at the different characters. And I've got all extensive notes on Gladys the Gossip and Harry the Hothead and Fred the Fool and Cyril the Sluggard and Marvellous Mel the Vice Girl. So I can send all of those to you. Obviously, in just an hour, what I thought I'd do is just give you the main big plot line to Voices, Paths, Destinations. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
You touched on the whole Job thing. Did you, obviously there might be kids sitting there thinking, yeah, but it didn't quite work in my life or whatever. And I think your answer is that we said that we can see we're not listening, so therefore we need to give some talk. But is that how you tackled it? By saying,
Yeah, I think what, as I say, I would usually start with two voices, two paths, two destinations. So my first talk was that, showing them that, and then I kept on saying that. Then I kind of changed two voices, two paths to the one that I just gave you, the wise person. So it's basically saying the same thing but in a different way. And then we'd look at the character, and what, you know, you'd throw in every now and then, what path's he on? Whose voice is he listening to? What's his life like? Full of life, full of death? So Cyril the Sluggard. Again, I wrote a thing for that. You know, what is it? I tried to get in. Where do you see the sluggard in young people today? How is that seen in the lives of young people today? Serial sluggard. I used to think the sluggard was just about being lazy. I think it's far more than that. Remember the old Calvin Klein advert? What did the Calvin Klein person look like? Young person. Were they full of life? Puffed out cheeks? Rosy in red? Or were they? Was the young girl sort of gaunt? This shoulder was up here and this one was down here, and it was kind of a whatever approach to life. Now, is that what some of your young people are like? Whatever. Now, they're whatever unless it's something in their life that they like. The only thing that motivates a lot of young people is what? If it benefits me. So will they get out of bed if they've got a football match at 9 or 10 o'clock and they're in the team? Will they get out of bed? Yeah. Will the girls get out of bed if, I don't know, if they're watching the football match and their boyfriend's playing? You know, what is it that motivates? You know, they're sitting and they're playing them, what's the latest one? Sorry? The television thing. The little kids. Sorry? Nintendo Wii, whatever it is. And they're playing that. And the mum gets in the way. The only person that's important is them. And because they're serial sluggard. And the whole of life is about me. Because it's serial shaped. The whole of life is serial shaped. Which is me. And the whole of life must... So I'm a sluggard. When in my relationships to the other person, because the only person who's important is me. And it's often with young people, I feel, it's as if someone's got a Hoover and they stuck it down their throat and they've turned it on and they've just sucked all the life out of them. And it's kind of... Now, that and Christianity do not go together, do they? So if our culture is trying to mould people into serial shapes, we've got to show them that they mustn't be like that. That's death-like. It's not the path of life. It's the path of death. Because Jesus is, what? Going to all the world. Jesus is always living for others. So we've got to try and show the window and help our young people to see what kind of shape our culture is trying to mould them into. You've got a businessman who's up at 5:30 every morning. He's on the 6:30 train. He's there. He gets home at... He works very hard. He gets home at 9:30. Does he look like a sluggard? But in his relationship maybe to his wife, his relationship to his children, he may be. He doesn't look like one, but he is. Probably, maybe. Yeah.
So in relation to the examples you've just given, where does the cross come in?
Well, if you're choosing to live like that, and you're choosing to be a Cyril, and you're choosing to be a selfish, and you're choosing to have death-filled relationships, then how does God feel about that? He's pretty angry with that. And he has a right to be angry with that. And what you need if you're a Cyril is forgiveness, isn't it?
I guess it's kind of how do you get off the path of death and onto the path of life?
Exactly, through the cross. Yeah, so... If you so clearly show them that they're a Cyril, then actually there's hope because you can get off that path and get onto that one. You can get away from those death-filled relationships and have life-filled ones. You can get off the path that in the end leads to eternal death and get on the path that leads to eternal life. And it's through the cross. Great news. You don't have to be a Cyril all your life. You don't have to be a Gladys Gossip all your life. You don't have to be a Marvellous Mel all your life. You don't have to be a Fred the Fool all your life. Good news. Great news.
I guess my problem is that it's very possible to find people who have life through the cross, who've been to the place of the cross. They are Christians, but still it's very possible that they are leading a sluggard life.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It is, yeah. And what they still need is the cross then, isn't it? They still need to repent. We can all be sluggards,
perhaps,
can't we?
Perhaps that's the problem, because maybe we are not. We are not. I mean, like we heard this morning in a lot of, you know, in a lot of churches, we are not focusing on the judgment of God. We mainly talk about the love of God. So you find people, you know, faithful, coming to church or being involved, you know, actively in the church, but actually at home, in their relationships with their wives and their children, they're sluggards.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gets to challenge them, because when they get to church, the first thing. The welcome service words are, you know, you may have messed up in this week, but God is a God of love, and you know, you can just bring it to Him, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, so what they need is the book of Proverbs preached to them. But, yeah. Can I just give a few book plugs? One book I would massively, 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 massively recommend to you. It's a sort of book each chapter you may have to read two or three times before you get it, but once you get it, it will blow your mind. I can't remember the guy's name. It's called Wise Words. What I'll do is I'll ask my friend who will know his name, and if you send me an email, I will tell it to you. But it's absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. He takes Proverbs and he puts it into children's stories. And the one on all of them are good, but the one on the adulteress is frighteningly good. So what we did was I got my whole team to read it out, and there were different characters, and then I set some questions on it for the kids, and it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it takes you into 1 Corinthians about the wise, and you know, it's about what looks wise in this world is foolishness, and what looks foolish is actually God's wisdom. That's what Paul says, isn't it? And they do that, and this guy does it absolutely superbly. Other books on Proverbs to recommend: Gospel and Wisdom by Graham Goldsworthy. Or he's done another one called, I think, Proverbs Today, which is or Reading Proverbs, which is great. Another one, Hear My Son. So again, I've forgotten the guy who's written it. Who again, if you email me, I'll send you all these books. Sorry? Yeah, it's Trevor, all lowercase. Yeah. _ PS, that's PEARCE, PS, @hotmail.com. And if you send me that, as I say, if you put in the title Proverbs, because I don't read any emails unless I know who it's from, just to save, not to go near her door. So if you just put Proverbs as a title, then I'll know. It's a safe email, and then I'll send you stuff you need. Right, I'm going to pray. Shall I give thanks for the food, and then we can go? Father, thank you so much that we are on the path of life, not because of anything we've done, but because you chose us before the creation of the world. Please help us to be thankful, to rejoice every day because of that, and we pray that the children, the young people under our care, that you give us the wisdom, the grace, and your spirit would choose to take them from the path of death to the path of life. Please do that for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thanks so much.